going to be in Psalm 111 today. I know a notification may have been gone out that we're in Psalm 110, but with everything that has happened in terms of the Bryant family, I just didn't think I could do that justice. It's a complex psalm and far-reaching, and I wanted to make sure that I could, and when I read Psalm 111, I thought, this is what we should be concentrating on, that this is to the glory of God. It is because of his who he is. It is because of his words that he has spoken. It is because of the works he has done. And for the Israelites, this was meant to be a song for them to remember, to sing, and to revel in the Lord God that was theirs, to rely on him. Our hearts, of course, are broken for the Bryant family, for the condition that Joshua's in. I'm not going to go into detail. The family is going to send updates as they desire for us to know. Our prayers are that God work in a miraculous way. Psalm 111 discusses God's wonderful, miraculous works. He can do. He is the great physician. He can heal. He can heal beyond belief. He can raise the dead. He's done so. It's recorded in his word. And Psalm 111 is a place that we can go. And while we remember the Bryants, we remember Josh, to pray for his healing. We remember Allison, to lift her up, that she may be comforted and experience God's peace, that she may find rest. We pray for their children. We pray for Jim and Jan, who are there and just relying on God, leaning on his everlasting arms, as Jim said in his email. We pray for the Bryant family, the brothers, the sisters. We pray for the Blackfords, for Bill and Karen Blackford, and for Tom and Crystal Blackford and their children. We ask for prayer for these, and I'm going to start us off with prayer, and then we're going to go into Psalm 111, because it is to the glory of God, calls us to praise his name. And we are going to praise his name here. Father, we do thank you for this day and the blessings you've provided to us. We think, and Father, remember that you are in control of all things. You are sovereign. All things work according to your purpose and your plan. And Father, you do things that we sometimes do not understand, but we are, Father, encouraged that you are able to do anything according to your will and your good pleasure. And you are bringing about workings every day, Father, according to that plan, according to your desires. And you are accomplishing your will. And we know, Father, that one of the things we are to do is to be in your word, because your word never goes out void. It always returns and accomplishes the purposes you have provided. We love you, God. We love you, Father. We praise your name. We praise you for the works you have done. We praise you, Father, for the salvation you have wrought. And we praise you that you have brought us near to you through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for these things, and we thank you for your word that we can go to for encouragement and understanding and peace, Father, and consolation, knowing that you are a great God and worthy to be praised. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 111. The Lord is praised for his goodness. Sorry, I'm going to have to pause occasionally. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. In the company of the upright and in the assembly, great are the works of the Lord. They are to be studied by all who delight in them. Splendid and majestic is his works, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He has given food to those who fear him. He will remember his covenant forevermore. He has made known to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are truth and justice, and his precepts are sure. They are upheld forever and ever. They are performed in truth and uprightness, and he has sent redemption to his people. He has ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Pardon me. This psalm is written, we don't know by who. It is intended to be a praise psalm to the Lord God, to be the person that we are to glory in, to give honor to give reverence to be in awe of, to understand his awesome word, his awesome accomplishments, his works on the earth among his people, and to be encouraged by that. And our encouragement is his word tells us what the Lord has determined to do. His word tells us the work that he has done because he said he would do it, and the hope that we have of a glory to come because the Lord has promised a redemption, a salvation through Jesus Christ, his Son. That is ours because he draws us to the Son. The Spirit convicts us of our guilt and draws us to the Son. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross, giving himself his body and his blood as a redemptive work for us, because we could not offer that sacrifice of our own. We are so blessed. And the beginning of this psalm says, praise the Lord. This is thought to potentially have been added to the psalm. Just a general declaration. This is what we're to do. Praise God. The word is really hallelujah. Praise God. This is an acrostic psalm. That means there's 22 lines, each representing or beginning with a Hebrew letter, starting with the first Hebrew letter and going through line by line, a subsequent Hebrew letter being the head first of the line. Potentially meant to help in the remembrance and the ability to sing and remember this as a song, an everlasting song, one that the people would be rejoicing in and praising God for his word, for what he has taught, for what he has said, what they knew of him, and of the works that he has performed in their midst. First one says, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart, in the company of the upright and the assembly. And that word heart there tends to incorporate a whole lot more than just I've hidden this treasure in my heart. It is brings about the connotation and the understanding that this psalmist is saying, I am going to praise God with all my heart, soul, mind, strength. I'm going to be thinking about, reflecting on, resolving to know this Lord God. I am going to have my will engaged. I'm going to have my emotions and my passions engaged in praising the Lord. I'm going to praise him with all my heart. The psalmist wants to begin with an acknowledgement that personally we are to be praising God. But not just there. It is in the company of the upright and in the assembly, whether it is a large congregation that this psalmist is involved in, a large assembly or a small assembly of just a few of God's own people. They are going to be gathering together, and he's going to declare, I personally am going to be praising the Lord, but his declaration is meant to inspire the congregation to praise the Lord as well. That those who are assembled in his name are to be praising God for all he has done. This is repeated in Psalm 62, verse 8, Psalm 77, verse 6, Psalm 86, 11 to 12, Psalm 119, verse 7. While I was studying this, I was brought to remember the Psalm 139, David's declaration of why he praises God. David says, he knows my inward being. He's known it since I was in my mother's womb. The very idea that God is powerful enough and has caused me to be formed in my mother's womb is just too wonderful for me to even consider. I can't imagine. It's awesome. It's amazing. It's wonderful. David goes on to say, if I have to consider where I would go in this world where God would not be, I can't find such a place. I can't go in the heavens, I can't go down below, I can't be on the earth, I can't be on the mountaintops, I can't be in the valleys, without knowing that God is present with me. He declares that God's thoughts are numerous. They're uncountable. They're unmeasurable in numbers. But not only in numbers, but not only in quantity, but also in quality. Like the sands of the beach or the stars of the sky, the things that we should be remembering of God and the wonders that he has done are just beyond our comprehension. The thoughts that David has about the Lord God are high and lifted up. It comes to a point in Psalm 139 where David says, you know, and I consider the people that hate you, that despise you, and I just desire for your judgment to be shown upon them. I mean, Lord, these people, I hate the people who do not desire to know you, who despise you. But when we get to the end of the psalm, after this description is given by David in humility, verses 23 and 24 of Psalm 139, David says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. David understands that it would be easy to look at others, the wicked, the evil, the hateful, those that despise God, and make a judgment that maybe I'm a little better than them. And I believe David was given an understanding and insight by the Spirit as he was led to write these words, Lord, lest I be resembling that, search me. Any little piece, any crevice of my heart, if there's something hidden, if there's something I'm anxious about, worried about, concerned about, if there's any harmful thoughts in my heart, search me. And then he calls upon the Lord to lead him. His desire is for God to lead, to guide, to guard, to save him, as he knows only God can. David's thoughts and desires are that the Lord would guide him and his heart. Again, the psalmist here is looking in Psalm 111, who prays not only personally but in the assemblies or the congregation. The desire of the psalmist is to give glory to God. He wants to praise and honor and reverence him. He wants to lift his voice up in praise and honor. If he does it personally, that's one thing, but he wants to be able to declare it in the midst of the congregation. It is difficult to get past verse 1. We're in the congregation of God. We are in assembly together. Why are we here? Why are we here? If we are not here to worship and praise and glorify a holy and righteous God, a one who is deserving of all our praise, I would say we are here for the wrong reason. This is God's house. David said, I was glad when they said, let us go up into the house of the Lord. I'm glad to be able to be in the midst of the fellowship. My desire is to be able to look into and share and learn more about God. And I'm looking to being in the midst of a fellowship of people who desire to worship and praise God. We're not going to get very far if I stay there. So verses 2 through 6 says, great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. Splendid and majestic is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He has given food to those who fear him. He will remember his covenant forever. He has made known to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. And verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, and verse 6 all refer to the works of the Lord. The Israelites were to remember what God has done. It's all tied to what God has said, what God has determined. But they are to remember his works. Some of these, these multiple words are used, and I'm not going to go into a word study on the word works, but some of it has to do with the general workings of God, his labor, his toil, his personal interest and activity in the works that he does. Some of it has to do with physical things that have happened, miracles that are seen, things and events that have been brought to pass. You think of the Red Sea parting and the Israelites walking through. We think of God himself appearing. We think of how God himself brought the nation of Israel out of the land of Egypt. He brought them out of the land of bondage. He redeemed them, saved them from that condition. As a type of the redemption we have seen in Jesus Christ, as he has redeemed us, he has saved us by the blood of the new covenant in his blood. Excuse me, by the covenant, the new covenant in his blood. God has accomplished many things for the people of Israel. And it says in the verse 2 that they are studied by those who delight in them. The people of God delight to look into his word and to see what God has caused to happen on behalf of his people. They delight in them. They're uplifted. They're encouraged. And one of the things about being in a fellowship is we can minister one to another, build each other up in the most holy faith. We can minister in God's word. We can sharpen each other as iron sharpens iron. We can remember the things of God. And this psalm is meant for the people of God to be remembering God's word, remembering God's person, and remembering God's works that he has done. To know that he is a holy and righteous God, active, gracious, compassionate. And the people that are blessed are those that are inquiring about his word, searching his word, looking for the cause of what God has done in his word. And they're to delight in what they find. We delight in God's word. In verse 3 it says, splendid and majestic is his work. His righteousness endures forever. God's works in this connotation are glorious, they're majestic, they're honorable, they're beautiful, they're excellent. They're high and above any thoughts that we have. They're tied to his word. They are tied not to just physical things that God has done, but how he has worked in the people. He's gracious and he's compassionate. His desire is to give grace, things that we do not merit, we do not deserve, God has given. And he shows his compassion on his people. Verse 4, he has made his wonders to be remembered. I'm sorry, I was in the wrong verse. His righteousness endures forever. We've got multiple instances of God in this psalm. His righteousness endures forever. His words endure forever. His praise endures forever. Everything about the Lord God is going to endure forever. And we are to be looking at his righteousness and understand that his righteousness endures forever. The God's word is coming under great persecution today. God's words always come under great persecution. But we can cling to it and hold to it and trust it, because the Lord our God is a great God. Verse 4 tells us he does not just common everyday works. He does miraculous, marvelous, extraordinary work. They are wonders to behold and wonders to remember. Part of that is the fact that he is gracious and kind. The word in verse 4 for works is there are things that God does that they're just too hard to even understand. They are beyond an individual's power to do. Of course, only God can do some things. Nothing is above God's ability. His works are majestic, extraordinary, awesome, astonishing to see. And the Hebrews, the Israelites, have recorded this according to God's purpose and will so that they might be remembered. The Israelites were constantly being reminded, remember, remember, God brought you out of Egypt. Remember, God parted the sea. Remember. And we're going to come up to the verse where God provided food, the manna and the quail. Remember, our Lord God is able and does accomplish wonderful, glorious, majestic, excellent works. And the Lord is gracious and compassionate to his people. Some of these ideas of majestic works, excellent works, Genesis 18:14 says, is anything too difficult for the Lord? That word, too difficult, majestic works, wonderful works. It was given to Abraham by the messenger of God, possibly the pre-incarnate Christ, when they guaranteed that Abraham and Sarah would have a child in their old age. And Sarah's barren, Lord. Sarah laughs. That's pretty funny. Abraham doesn't know what to think. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Exodus 3 and verse 20. God determined to move the Israelites out of the land of Egypt, to remove them from the bondage that they were under, the Egyptians. In verse 20 it says, so I, the Lord, will stretch out my hand and I will strike Egypt with all my miracles. All of God's wondrous works. I think of the plagues that were given. Think of the Passover where the firstborn of the Israelites were protected such that they were supposed to remember this. The Passover was to be celebrated in remembrance of God's passing over the judgment. Remember the works and the words of the Lord. In Exodus 34, verse 10, there was a renewing of the Mosaic covenant. And God said, behold, I'm going to make a covenant. Before all your people, I will perform miracles. They will be those things which have not been produced in all the earth, nor among any of the nations. And all the people among whom you live will see the workings of the Lord. It will cause fear and reverence and inspire an understanding of an awesome God able to do amazing things. Psalm 119:27. The psalmist desiring to be able to understand the Lord and his works and his word says, make me understand the way of your people or of your precepts. This is David speaking. So I will meditate on your wonders, your miraculous works, your awesome, awesome works. They are wonderful. They're extraordinary. They're hard to understand. They're difficult to imagine that they can be accomplished. They're awe-inspiring. And they are works to be remembered. Exodus 12, verses 12 to 24, and Exodus 13, verses 8 and following. The Israelites were directed to have a celebration of the Passover feast, to remember perpetually, to celebrate the Passover and what God had done for their people and redeeming them, saving them out of the land of Egypt. There was to be a feast of the unleavened bread because they weren't even able to, they didn't have time to let the dough rise. They didn't have time to add the leaven and to make it rise so that they could eat a good loaf of bread before they left on their journey. It was, I'm taking you out of Egypt and you're going now. It was amazing. They were to be observing this Feast of the Unleavened Bread with a staff in their hand, sandals on their feet, and they'd eat the unleavened bread in haste, in hurry, so that they would remember exactly what God had accomplished. It was something, God's going to remove us from this land, and He's going to get us out of here, and we need to be ready. We in our church need to be ready every day for what the Lord is bringing. Every day we need to be prepared for everything. Now, these were memorials, the Passover, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. They were to be memorials that were to be repeated, consciously done, so that the people would remember exactly what the Lord had done for them. And we have a memorial. This memorial of the Passover was a type of the memorial we have today. We have it down below. It's called the Lord's Table. It declares to us that Jesus Christ came and shed His, sacrificed His broken body and His shed blood, that a new covenant was being made, and that we are to remember that. I know that we've had discussions about, well, should we do the Lord's Table every Sunday? And, you know, that's just kind of tradition. And I'm sorry, this is a memorial to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God's Son, for the remission of sins. This is why we do it every Sunday. We're to come here to praise and glorify the Lord God for what He has done. He has provided that sacrifice we could not offer of our own selves. It is to be done as a memorial, a remembrance. If we go to 1 Corinthians 11, 24 to 26, it says, Jesus Christ, when He had given thanks, He broke it, that is the bread, and He said, this is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. In the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. We're to do it, and we believe that because it tells us as often as we do it, we're to do it often. And remember, we must remember, the scriptures are all about Jesus Christ. They are leading up to Jesus Christ. They were at the time of Jesus Christ. They are after Jesus Christ. They are the hope we have in Jesus Christ of being in God's very presence. The Passover and was a type of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, His blood shed as a remission of sins. He came to seek and save the lost. He came to save His people from their sin. We are to remember that. And we're to remember this whole word is about that. And we need to learn it, to know it. We need to read it. We need to proclaim it. We need to glorify God because of it. In Exodus 34, 5 to 7, it says, the Lord God, He's compassionate and gracious. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in loving kindness and truth. This is repeated in Psalm 25, 10 and 61, 7, Psalm 85, 10, Psalm 86, 15, The Lord God is compassionate and gracious. He is full of loving kindness and truth. And we had an opportunity to hear a study on that on our Wednesday night study in prayer with Richard Short. Verse 5, I'm getting back to the verses now. He has given food to those who fear him. He will remember his covenant forever. There's understanding that he's reminding them of their time in the wilderness, and when they were hungry, they needed things to eat. They desired things to eat. And God's faithful in caring for his people. We as a people are not always obedient to praising him or doing what his word tells us to do or having it in our heart to love God. He's compassionate and gracious. And Exodus 16 and Numbers 11 gives us the background for God providing the manna from heaven, the quail from the sky, giving the people the food that they needed, the nourishment that they needed. And this is a remembrance to them. Remember. Remember the works of God, the wonderful works, the miraculous works. Verse 6, he made known to his people the power of his works and giving them the heritage of the nations. Again, it should be a remembrance to the nation of Israel that God brought them into the promised land. He brought them into the promised land at exactly the time he desired to do so. It was it may have been a reason for 40 years to pass because the fullness of the wickedness of the Amorites hadn't been fulfilled yet. But when that had been fulfilled, God said, okay, my people can come in. And he miraculously brought them into the land. And when he brought them into the land, he miraculously did works among their midst so that they would understand and remember that. And I remember Jericho. Yeah, get your catapults, get your stones, get to throw hooks up on the walls and pull the walls down. No, walk around the city. Blow the trumpets. And the walls fell. God did that. It says his works in that way are meant for us to understand his power in his works. We have the wonder of his works. We have his works in everyday life, his common works. We have his marvelous, awe-inspiring, astonishing works. We have powerful works that God has done. We have so many things to remember about the Lord God that we should be praising him every day. We should get up in the morning and praise God. We have another morning. God, cause me to remember. Help me to voice it. Make me voice it among the congregation and the assembly. Praise God for what he has done. Verse 6, we're going to verse 7 to 9. I'm running slower, sorry. The works of his hands are truth and justice, and all his precepts are sure. His precepts are trustworthy. And because of all the things that God has said, all that he has accomplished because of his word, all of the works that he has performed, we can be assured and trusting that his word is true, that they are just. He is a holy God. And we hold to that. I have a note to read Psalm 19, verses 7 to 9. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 9 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Oh, Lord, thank you for that. The Lord makes us wise beyond our understanding. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The fear of the Lord is forever. The judgments of the Lord, they are true. They are righteous altogether. Psalm 111. His hands, the works of his hands are truth and justice, and all his precepts are sure. We could go to Psalm 119. Well, we could read 119 right now. I don't think we will. I don't think we could before the next service starts. 176 verses, of which 175 is what I've seen directly or indirectly relate to the Lord's word. It is his word. It's his precepts. It's his promises. It's his law. It's his testimony, his precepts, his commandments. It's his promises. Why, if you want to go somewhere and learn how the word should affect our lives, look at Psalm 119 and go back and look at Psalm 19. Psalm 19 reminds us that the Lord's word is like a honeycomb, sweeter than honey. Verse 8, they are upheld forever and ever. The words of the Lord are forever and ever. They endure forever. His word endures forever. His works endure forever. The praise that he is due is forever. I think that's forever, Paul.
Forever.
Forever. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's awe-inspiring. It's upright. It's good for our soul to remember God's word. It's good for our soul to be in the company of other believers in the fellowship, that we might build each other up in the most holy faith, to remember what God has done. For us today, we look back to Jesus Christ and his sacrifice as the only way that we have been brought into a relationship with the Lord God. And we look forward to that as a hope for the day to come when we can stand before him in his very presence. Dressed in a righteousness we don't deserve, and that is not ours, and that only God could provide. We were redeemed and saved out of the world. We've been set aside. God has his eye upon us, just as he provided that the nation of Israel was unique to him. They were special to him. He so chose them out of the world. He set them apart. We pray that we would be in obedience to him and to his word, remembering all that he has done, remembering all that he has said, so that as verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord, the reverence for the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Again, thankfully, God provides wisdom. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The awe of God is the beginning of wisdom. The reverence for God is the beginning of wisdom. If it's all about God, we need to be in God's word, learning more about God, learning more about what his word says, learning more and remembering more about what he has done. As I said, we will celebrate the Lord's table because Christ told us to remember. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. We are hearers of the word, not hearers only. We're to be doers of the word. A good understanding have those who do his commandments. And the end of the psalm is his praise endures forever. Again, his person, his words, his works, his praise endures forever. And 1 Peter 1:25 says, the word of the Lord endures forever. And it's referencing the gospel message there. And that is what we are to convey, an understanding of a God who is all present, all powerful. He is accomplishing his will and his purpose on this earth. He has worked through his people. He has given us his word. He has given us his works that we might remember what he has done. He's given us the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ, that we might be in relationship with him and walk forward knowing that we have a hope of being with him one day. Wrote the verse 10 is, the life of godly living begins with the reverence of the Lord. And that awe of an omnipotent, omniscient God who works all things after the counsel of his own will and according to his purposes and his plans. This is what we are to be engaged in, glorifying the Lord our God for all of his words and his works, and praising him continually forever and ever. We are to be remembering he is gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He sheds on us his loyal covenant-keeping love. Even as that's described so much in the Proverbs and other places in the Scripture. He has provided the way of redemption and salvation from the bondage of sin and death by the new covenant in Christ's blood. We need to remember these things and encourage one another with these thoughts of our Lord and our God. Great is our God, and greatly to be praised. Psalm 111, great is our God, and greatly to be praised. Things. All creatures here below, praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. We have only a couple of minutes till we're to dismiss. I'd like to ask you all to, if you would, bow your heads and lift up Josh Bryant, Allison Bryant, their children, Jim and Jan Bryant. All of the Bryant family, related siblings, for Karen and Bill Blackford and Tom and Crystal Blackford and their children. I don't have news to convey other than pray for the one who is able, the great physician, the one who can perform all things wondrously, miraculously. Pray that he would work and do that work in Josh's life. Heal him completely, miraculously. Pray for Jim and Jan. Lift them up to encourage them. And pray for the family. If you would, just bow with me for a minute or so, and then I'll close us.